God's motto, be prepared.
Amen.
Amen. It might be God's motto, I don't know. But there's a story about a missionary that was in Africa for years and years, and when he came back to the States as an old man, as he got close to the shore, of course, it was back during the boats, you know, you didn't fly over there. He saw streamers on the shore, welcome home, and he thought, well, you know, I've been gone all these years, but at least they remembered me. When he got there, he found out those streamers were for Teddy Roosevelt, one of the American presidents, and he'd been on a safari, you know, killing animals, whatever, and no one met him at the docks, and so he found a hotel, got a room, and was just kind of depressed about it. And he says, God, I don't understand, you know, after serving you all these years, and I come home, and nobody met me here, and the sweet Spirit of God said, you're not home yet.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank the Lord. We're going to get home one day.
This old world is filled with disappointments and trouble every day. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. That's the reason I can sing as I go. Oh, we're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. Then we're gonna sit down beside the river. How we'd long to be with Jesus. And our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. There's a land that's filled with milk and honey, and it's waiting for me. Someday Jesus will come and take me over that sea. So I just keep on watching and waiting in this troubled world below. And that's one thought. Oh, it keeps me singing as I go. Oh, we're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. Then we're gonna sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus. And our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Let's sing it. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. He is good.
Amen. Amen.
All the time. Amen. Amen. I got to do this thing here. All right. I thought he was getting happy back there.
Woo!
Amen. All right. Well, the church I was preaching at last week, this thing was always messing up, and I wanted to throw it in the baptistry, but there was no water in it. All right, it says on. It's up to you now, brother. All right. Somebody's talking about the thing up there with Job trying to pour. You know, he already had his cereal poured and no milk. And that is the beginning of a bad day. I want to read about a fellow who had a bad day.
Since I'm writing in response to your request for additional information, in block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put poor planning as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at the ground level, I went up to the roof and swung the barrel out and loaded the brick into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to secure the slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block number 11 of the accident form that I weigh 135 pounds. Due to my surprise of being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to my weight in block number 11. As you can imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I'm at the barrel coming up. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles and the lacerations of my legs and lower body. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell on the pile of bricks, and fortunately only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I am sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain and unable to stand and watching the empty barrel 6 stories above, I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. I just want to report to you this morning, I'm doing fine. Everything's good. Amen.
Amen.
Woke up this morning, I guess by 1 o'clock in the morning, with chills. And, I hate chills. I hate any discomfort. But I don't like being cold. I had the chills. I mean, I was just... I thought I wake him up. I think I did. But I'm just shaking. And I have never drank so much coffee and tea. I mean, and drink. And I had to use the bathroom so bad. And I did not want to get out from under the covers. I was shaking already. I knew as soon as I got to the cold air, it was just going to be really bad. And I laid there. I don't know how long I laid there, just shaking and needing to go to the bathroom really, really bad. So finally I made it, got to the bathroom, and I put this fleece on, slept in that fleece. I mean, and I tried to wake him up and have him pray for me, because I knew I had to teach this morning, and I was already chilled, and I was sick, and he was just, he was just having a great time over there, snoring. And I wanted to tell him about the lightning bug on the top of the, on the ceiling. Do y'all have lightning bugs over, fireflies? They don't have them. The bugs, they light up at night. They flash a yellow light. And I thought this was kind of early for lightning bugs. But I'm laying there, and I can't sleep. I'm sick, and I'm looking at the ceiling. This lightning bug is just flashing on and off. And our lightning bugs flash a yellow light, and yours flashes like a red light. And I thought, wow, that's strange. A little red light just kept lightning on the ceiling. And it was the fire alarm thing. Amen. So much for the lightning bugs. Let's see. I don't know where to start. Oh, I want to talk to you guys about being such a sissy in the cold shower. Somebody was taking a cold shower this morning. It was screaming like a girl.
Is it you?
No. Someone in the next room. I mean, I heard this screaming. I thought, what? And I heard water running. I said, what a sissy. I'm taking a cold shower. Oh! 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 I mean, what a sissy. I mean, suck it up. I mean, I turned the water on. It was cold. I kept putting my hand in there. I wasn't screaming and hollering like a girl. I just didn't take a shower. There's no way I'm going to scream and holler like a girl, amen. Just don't take a shower when it's cold, amen. It gives me the chills thinking about it. Amen. Man. The Bible says, quit ye like men. So I quit trying. I didn't take a shower. I just quit. Amen. Amen. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Today, we're going to talk about the patience, how to learn. Oh, I hate this lesson.
Yeah, amen. That's why we gave it to you.
Thank you. I want to start out by saying this, that we hear the question occasionally, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? And we know the verses. I mean, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So I want to say this. There's none good. No, not one. Why do good things happen to... I mean, why do good things happen to bad people? Amen. I woke up this morning. Some people didn't.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, listen, when you wake up on the right side of the dirt,
yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. On the top side of the dirt, you're still doing good. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to praise the Lord. What do we deserve? What do we deserve? I mean, I want justice. Oh, no, no, no. I do not want justice. I want what's coming to me. Oh, no, no, no. You don't want what's coming to you. I just want to say what Job went through, we'll probably never touch. But if it did, we deserve worse. I should be in hell today with a broke back. But I'm not going there. I'm not going to hell. I just want to say, whatever happens to us down here, we deserve worse. Let's turn to Job chapter 1. If you'll, and again, I hate this lesson. And I hate what I'm going to say. Job chapter 1. Of course, we've read what all he had. You know, if you don't have anything, it's no big deal when you lose anything.
That's right.
You know? Yeah, that's right. I mean, if a stock market crashes, it's not going to hurt me. I don't have any stocks. Amen. Amen. No big deal. I mean, I'm not going to be jumping out of a building because I lost all that money because I don't have any money. Amen. Hey man, no big deal. I thought it was kind of funny when you guys took us through the castles and stuff. And you know, of course, my wife was disappointed because she thought a castle was this exotic, you know, place that everybody, you know, princesses, you know, it was horrible places. and the rich people that owned the castles, I mean, they would suffer dementia when they were 28, 29 years old because they're eating out of lead plates and drinking out of lead saucers, and their servants were living to 50 years because they were eating out of wooden plates and wooden cups. Amen. I thought that was funny. Amen.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lose anything. If the stock market crashes, I'm fine. Now, verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And another passage says, as a roaring lion.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And the whole book of Job is about verse 8. And the Lord said to Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? It's one thing for us to testify for ourselves, and sometimes testimony meetings turn into bragamony meetings,
yeah.
You know. I never forget, this lady got saved at a church service I was at, and three people stood up and testified how they'd been praying for her for so long, and they just thanked God, but they'd been praying for her. Finally, after the third person, Alan Jones stood up, and he says, "Does anybody else want to brag about this person getting saved?" You know, amen. You know, well, I won't give glory to God. I mean, God's the one who saved her. But here, God is testifying for Job. Wow. I always wonder, you know, would God testify for me? Have you considered my servant, buddy? And just put your name there. But when I see what happened after that, I'm kind of hoping the Lord don't testify for me. Just don't mention my name up there. Maybe the devil doesn't know where I live yet. Amen. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Now that's an unfortunate old English word. It means nothing.
Amen.
Anyway, that's a whole other story. Satan accuses God, and in a way, he accuses Job of fearing God because of how good God was to him. He said, "Job fears you because you're paying him." Anybody can serve God and fear God if God is paying them so well. He said, "You put a hedge around him." Verse 10, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." He said, "Have you not put a hedge around him and protected him and blessed?" Well, I guess so. He's sacrificing to the Lord all the time. And sacrificing for his children. I mean, this man is praying a hedge around him. And this man is praying a hedge around all that he possesses. This man loves God. But Satan is accusing Job of serving God for what he gets. "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." He said, "I'm letting the hedges down. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." Don't touch Job. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know the rest of the story. And I hope you get this. But the whole book of Job is not about Job. The book of Job is about an argument that God and the devil got into, and Job just happened to be in the middle of it. When things happen to us, when things happen around us, it's about us. No. Probably not. There was a song years ago, "You're So Vain." You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain. And we're so vain that we think everything that happens, I mean, inflation, it's about me. The election is about me. The you know, what's going on in the world, it's me. No. You're not even an actor. I hope you get what I'm saying, that God does care about us and that we are in this thing. But most things that happen in our lives is not about us at all. We're not being picked on. We're not being persecuted. It's not about us. It's probably about God and the devil, and we just happen to be in the middle of it. That's exactly what happened here. Job was not doing anything bad. And as far as we can see outwardly, he doesn't even have a pride problem as far as he don't think well of himself. I mean, because pride is a horrible, horrible sin, and God testifies for him. He said he's a perfect and upright man. He fears God and eschews evil. I don't think God had a problem with him. But when things happened to him, then we do find out that he did have a problem that got uncovered. Pride is not just thinking highly of yourself, but it's just thinking of yourself, being consumed with yourself. And we find out that when things started happening to Job, he thought it was because of him. It wasn't because of him. But it exposed something that he did have a problem. I think if we would stop thinking so highly of ourselves, we could handle some of the problems we're going through. Because it's not about us anyway. But we think it is. What do we deserve? I did a lot of driving last week. So we had these cassette tapes, Robinson Crusoe. And the guy, great reader, he was reading Robinson Crusoe. I mean, we're driving down the road and I'm listening to Robinson Crusoe. And never read the book I was supposed to read in school. I never read anything I was supposed to read in school. You could get saved reading Robinson Crusoe. How many's ever read it? You could get saved reading Robinson Crusoe. Robinson, of course, it's a fictitious book, but Robinson Crusoe gets saved in this book. Robinson Crusoe leads Friday to the Lord. The black man that his buddies are fixing to eat him, and he rescues this guy, but he has to teach him English first, and he leads Friday to the Lord. But when Friday first comes to him, of course, he rescues Friday, and he's got a gun. Friday's never seen a gun, and he's not sure what they do, but he knows this guy dispatched the two of the guys were chasing him, trying to chase him down. And so when Crusoe has Friday to come up, Friday comes halfway up, and he gets on his knees, and he crawls up, and he puts his head on the ground in front of Crusoe and picks Crusoe's foot and puts it on his head. It's hard for us to do that. That's where we should be. And when you start worrying about, you know, my problem, why does this happen to me? You're too important. You're way too important. If you think it's all about you and poor me, and I'm going through this. And listen, like preacher said, I'm sure a lot of you, listen, divorce, family problems, marital problems, financial problems, spiritual problems, and I know they're real. But on top of that, when you start having your little pity party, and it's all about me, and it's all about my problems, and you can't think about anybody else, you don't care anything about anybody else's problems because you're consumed with your problems, that adds to your problems. Job didn't have a problem until these things happened to him, and then he started having problems with pride and self-righteousness and everything else. But it just exposed that problem. Would you fear God for nothing? I don't know if you understand this or not. Job, we memorized half of that verse. You know, the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. But Job said, I came into this world naked.
Yes, right. Amen.
That's not very, nothing to be proud of. I mean, as a matter of fact, whichever daughter it was, one of my middle daughters. I got two middles because I got four, you know, so two of them are middle daughters. But when one of them was born, a preacher had preached that when they're born, you ought to quote scripture to them. And so as soon as she's born, I mean, she's this wet, ugly thing. And I said, The Bible says you came out of your mother's womb speaking lies. And the doctor looked at me and said, what in the world is this guy? But that's what the Bible says. You came out of your mother's womb speaking lies. But I want to say, since I was born, I'm in the black. I'm wearing something. So I'm okay.
Amen.
I'm okay.
Amen.
You may not have, like he said, like two pennies to rub against each other, but you got clothes. We're in the black.
Amen.
We're better than we started.
Praise God.
Amen. How does God strengthen our faith? I mean, listen, what God did for Job, and I want to say he did it for Job. I believe in spanking children.
Amen.
The world doesn't, but I still believe the Bible.
Amen.
And spanking is not what you do to the child. It's something you do for the child.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It's
true.
If you do it the right way and you hit them on the right place, the bomb does not break. That's where the Bible says do it. I mean, this is not a place for discipline.
Yeah.
That's not a place. I mean, the legs, the chest, that's not a place for discipline. There's a place on a child that does not break. I've tried it. it just don't break. Unbreakable. And there's something, according to the Bible, there's something connected between here and here.
Hey.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive. Hey. Somehow, there's a message that gets between here and here.
Amen.
Whom the Lord loveth,
yeah.
He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
Praise the Lord.
Now, And the Bible says, you know, no man, you don't rejoice when it's happening.
No.
Woo, praise the Lord, this is wonderful. Do it, Daddy, do it. Do it some more. And when sometimes my dad would say the stupidest thing. He said, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I'm thinking, well, give me the belt then. You know, give me the belt. Let me do it to you. You know, I don't want you to hurt that bad, Dad. You know. But you're not rejoicing when it's going on. But afterward.
Yes.
You know, it's supposed to be correction.
Yeah, praise God.
I mean, you got this 3-year-old kid that wants to go out into the street. Now, we know that if that little 3-year-old kid goes out in the street, he's no match for a truck.
Yes.
He didn't know that. All he knows is, that sure did hurt.
Yeah.
And when they get close to the street again, they think about, well, that really did hurt. So they don't go on the street.
Yeah.
It's something you do for the child.
Amen.
And no discipline for the present seems joyous. Amen. But it, the peaceable fruit that it produces, that's what we're looking at. God puts people in our lives to help us.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want to say this. Sometimes they're not nice people.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
But they'll help you.
It's good.
Amen.
That's
good. God puts bad governments.
Yeah.
To help us.
Amen.
True.
You pray for us in the States. We have no one to vote for next time.
That's right.
I mean, just wicked people.
Yeah.
Carnal. I mean, just we have no one to vote for.
That's correct.
I mean, whatever you know, and I know what everybody says about Bush. I think he's a saved man, but we don't have any saved people running right now. The one that I'll have to vote for, I said I have to. I can't vote for the other. I have to vote for this one. Is a wicked man.
Yeah, that's right.
Foul mouth.
That's right.
Just horrible.
Yeah.
But I've got to vote for him because of who's running against him. There's no way. But our country needs somebody like that because we're wicked.
Yes, sir.
You You know what's going to happen in the next 4 years in America? Us Christians are going to be praying.
Yeah. That's good.
Praise God.
And that's where we need to be. We hadn't been there lately. We're going to be praying.
Amen.
We're going to be fasting. We're going to be getting hold of God, because we're going to go through a crunch. I mean, it's going to be brutal. I feel like the persecution might come of Christians, because these people have been elected right now. They won't care anything about God. Most of them hate God. But we deserve it. And it's going to help us. It's going to help us. You know, none of you old enough to remember the Depression, but revival happened during the Depression. When you don't have money and God's free, amen, you'll start looking at, you start looking for God. When you don't have anything and you can have God, you'll start looking for Him. And I think it's going to help us. But God puts people in our lives, our government, our wives. I was praying for my wife this morning, and somebody said something last night about, you know, your wife's hoping you change. It's an amazing thing about marriage. A man hopes his wife never changes, and the wife hopes her husband will. Amen. You want your wife always to be this, you know, please don't change. And she said, oh, God, please help him to change. Amen. But probably, if your wife has problems, it's probably because of you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Everything rises and falls on leadership.
Yep.
Yes, it does.
We're to nourish her and cherish her. Amen. Love her like Christ loved the church. And if she is a problem, it's probably because you're not treating her the way you ought to treat her. So we need it. We need it. Our pastor. Hey, so I've been under some pastors who are taskmasters. But it helped me. It helped me. I probably deserved them. As far as what I was going through at the time, I probably needed what they were doing. Although I can't justify what they were doing, but I needed what they were doing. Job was going through some things, and his fault, maybe not his fault, maybe, I don't know. But God puts friends and people in our lives to help us. But I just want you to know, your wife's not your enemy. Your parents are not your enemy. Hey, young people, you know why your parents are like they are sometimes? Because of you. You don't believe it. They were happy before you came along. I mean, it's just this man and this woman, and they're just in love and just having a great time, and then you came along. You know what? If you'd be a better child, son, daughter, son, maybe that'd be a better dad and mom. Amen. But God uses some people in our lives to help us, whether we want the help or not. Just curse God and die. Here's some encouraging words. Just curse God and die. Do you think Job's wife loved him?
Yes.
You think she gave up on Job? I think she gave up on God.
Yes.
I think she felt sorry for her husband, trusting him. I think she gave up on God. I mean, listen, I don't want to throw stones at her. If you saw your spouse going through and know that God did it, I think she gave up on God. And so I think there's a lot of folks in our life that God's put there, and maybe we think that we've been mistreated, or But we don't know what's going on in their life either. Some of our bosses, foremen, especially if it's a woman.
Ooh.
I would not be a woman for anything. They're ate up with hormones and stuff. I would not be one for anything, but if they're your boss, you just throw your hands up and say, "Thank God I'm not her."
Yeah.
She might be making it hard on you, but you just don't know where she's living.
Yeah. Right.
You don't want to be her for anything. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go on here. God puts people in your life to help you. Learn this, that God doesn't have to answer or fix your situation. He doesn't have to. Romans 8:28. Turn there. Romans 8:28. Well, we misuse this verse. We've had the charismatics teaching so long that we just think being saved is just everything being rosy and nice and sweet and just everything's going to be great. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God does things in our lives to make us more like Jesus.
Amen.
That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. We want that.
Yes.
And the fellowship of His sufferings.
That's the heart. Ooh,
yeah. If you're going to be more like Jesus, you're going to suffer.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to suffer. We love that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to suffer. I'm not going to take a cold shower if I don't have to. I'm going to scream like a woman.
Amen.
And that's light affliction.
Yeah.
Let me say this, though. Mark this down in your little book. Nothing can happen to us down here that a trip over yonder won't take care of.
Yeah. Amen.
Whatever happens to you here, one trip over there is going to take care of it. Boy, this happened to me. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why? You know what? When you get to heaven, you're not going to care.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, why did that take? No, you're not going to ask any dumb questions like that. You're going to be, woohoo! Amen. I'm home. Praise the Lord. Whatever. Amen. That's all gone, man. There's a song. I wish I could find it. I just remember the title of it. And the earth has no sorrows that heaven can't heal. Amen. Heaven will take care of it. We look at the little small picture of what's going on right now, and you just have to remember God has this big old picture, and He's trying to get us to look like His Son. Let's just some keys to patience. Here's some things. Number one, you must override your fears. Look at Job 3:25. Got to hurry. I didn't know it was so late. Job 3:25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is coming to me. Maybe we should stop thinking the way we think.
Yeah.
Half empty or half full?
Yeah.
Some of us is half empty.
Right.
If that's the way you look at it, then that's probably the way it is. It's going to get less. But if it's half full, that's encouraging. It's coming up. It's getting better. And we need to stop thinking the way we think. Have to overcome your fears. Don't have those fears. I mean, don't dread. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes there's not going to be about anybody to encourage you. And what I've taught you this morning is not very encouraging. Whatever you're going through, it could get worse.
Amen.
Amen. I got some funny looks there. It might get worse. Hallelujah. Amen. But we're going to make it.
Amen.
You ever worry about something? I mean, just put quality time and worrying about it and it didn't happen?
Yeah. Amen.
You wasted all that worry and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
All right. How about this one? Did you ever put quality time worrying about something and it did happen?
Yeah.
We made it. Hey, we made it. We're here. I mean, all if this happens, it's going to be what? We're here. Here we are. We got it. Amen. We made it. And besides that, it could get, you know, you could just die and go to heaven. Amen. Number two, stay soft towards God and hard towards sin in your life. All right, if you weren't doing anything, I mean, listen, I know none of us are perfect, but in God's vocabulary, we are perfect.
Amen.
And you were doing what you knew to do. I mean, not sinless, perfect, but you prayed and you spent time with God. You were submitted to Him the best you could. And this happened. But it exposed something you didn't even know about.
That's right.
Get right.
Amen.
This shouldn't have happened to me. I know, but it exposed this, and you know this is wrong. Get it right. Get it right. I mean, Job was a great Christian. But when this stuff happened, it did expose some things that he didn't know anything about.
Right.
Fix it. Get it right. Accept correction from God. Number three, accept correction from God. Accept it. Now look at Job 5:17. This is hard to swallow. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. I know spankings, it hurts. My dad, I wish I'd learned this from my dad. I never did. My dad never held investigations of who done it. If no one admitted to it, he spanked all three of us.
Yeah.
He always got his man. And two others. And then it would irritate the fire out of me. He said, now if you didn't do it, he said, this spanking is for something you did do that I didn't know anything about. I'm like, oh, no. I hated that. But he would spank us, and especially if it was something I didn't do, and I got a spanking for it. My stupid sister did it, and my stupid brother did it. And we weren't poor, but we had, you know, we were all in the same bedroom. All three kids were in the same bedroom, three beds. And so he'd spank us all. Said, you stay in the bedroom, you shut the door, and was, you know, it's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. I mean, it was horrible. And that door would slam, and then it would get quieter, and we'd get quieter, and finally a little whimper, and then, especially the one that did it, that got us in trouble. My dad or my mom are in the living room grieving about, oh, I'd hate to have to do that. I mean, but the poor kids. And when they're laughing, it didn't kill us.
That's right.
Whatever happens to us down here is not. Don't fear him that's able to destroy the body. But fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hey, the last thing that's going to happen to me is I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm in the black now.
Amen.
I'm in the black now.
Amen.
I'm not naked, and I'm going to heaven.
Right.
And I should be in hell with a broke back. Amen. I should. down on the ground with his foot on my head.
Yeah.
That's where I should be. Amen. Ah, boy, you must pray for others, especially your enemies.
Amen.
That'll help you.
That's
President Clinton was the worst thing that ever happened in our country. And I'm taking prayer requests one night, and this little girl says, pray for President Clinton that he'll get saved. I'm thinking, that wicked man. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't want him to go to hell.
Amen.
I don't even want Hillary to go to hell.
Amen.
She is vile.
Yeah.
But I don't want her to go to hell. Pray for him.
Amen.
You pray for him.
Amen.
You don't hate him. You don't despise him. You pray for him.
Amen.
God's not willing to do it. Jesus Christ died for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. That's right.
I can't get over that. He died for Saddam Hussein.
That's right.
Listen, he died for Hitler.
That's right.
He died for those people.
Amen.
I can't imagine it. Well, here's just a list of verses. I'll give you this. I'll close. James 1:12. Blessed is man that endureth temptations. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Behold, we count them happy. James 5:12. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job. And have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. James 1, 2, and 3, 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And Romans 5, 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I don't like it, but that's the way it is. But I want you to know that it's not about us. It's about Him. Dr. Charles Keene is just a great preacher, great man of God. Missions, he's just promoted missions for years. Started Bearing Precious Seed. They produce Bibles and tracts, whatever. He has two of his children that are in Africa as missionaries. He said something that I think threw us aback, but it's exactly true. He said, if you think I love those people enough to let my children go over there, my grandkids go over there and not see them, if you think I love those people in Africa that much, he said, you got something else coming. He said, I've never seen them. How can I love them? But he said, I love him. And he loves them. And he said, that's why I'm okay with my kids being over there. Not because of them, because of him. I want you to know the whole show, it's not about you. It's about him. Father, we love you and appreciate you. And Lord, sometimes we gripe and complain and we think we're being treated unfairly. We deserve worse. We really do. We don't believe it. But God, thank you that we're not David. David said to not treat us, not to give us what we deserve. Not reward us according to our righteousness, Lord. We'd all be in trouble. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, help us to see. And I know we're important to you. I know that. I know we're the apple of your eye. But dear Lord, the way we need to look at it is this whole thing's about you, it's not about us.
Amen.
And Job said, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust in him. Lord, if you kill us, we deserve worse. Lord, we love you and appreciate how good you've been to us and how we we're in the black, Lord. We're clothed, and Lord, we do have friends, and Lord, we're doing okay. And Lord, just help us to trust you with the trials and tribulations we're going through, and let patience have her perfect work. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, brother. What we're going to do now is you've got 37 minutes.